This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Oh, the burdens a great wizard such as myself must bear, lo. But we do all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep things like, oh, I don't know, being responsible for the loss of your fellow wizard's immortality, all bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to work through whatever's weighing you down. Going to therapy has taught me that I don't have to react to every emotion I feel, even though those emotions are valid. Sometimes taking a moment is all you need to respond in a way that's truer to your values. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/magic today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/magic.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hello, this is Inta again.
And Nerf.
We're here unlocking episode 4 of Shadow City from the Magic Tavern Patreon. If you want to support the show and get more Patreon content, visit patreon.com/magictavern.
Today is also my birthday.
So where we are at is that after Crusher started a self-destruct for the Cougar Cave, several things happened. The Giggler, you managed to successfully pawn off onto Don Tribbiani. You convinced him that Don Tribbiani is somebody worth attacking. So for now, it seems like both of those problems might be quasi-solved. Sparrow, the boy ward of the cougar, appeared downstairs in the cougar cave and attacked Crusher and hit him with his motorcycle.
And I am wearing most of the cougar's suit.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I have the diamond claws still and the smoke bombs, but otherwise it's just a suit.
Yes. Up the stairs leading from the cougar cave to the lounge of the library, rather, Joseph Rogan is choking Ma to death. Ma had the boots of the cougar on, but through some poor rolling, Ma attempted to kick Joe Rogan, and the boots came off, and Ma is kind of just helpless in this particular moment.
Please, Joseph Rogan is his father.
Call me News Radio. In the library, punches managed to bite the fingers of a good dozen Joe Roganites, and in the panic of all of them freaking out about their missing fingers, had begun to sneak down the stairwell towards the Bat Cave, or towards the Cougar Cave, and just a little bit ahead of him, having just scooted right past Joe Rogan, is the Chuckler, the other remaining sort of laughter-themed supervillain who is on his way downstairs to presumably do some nefarious things. So
I'm sorry, this is not the most important detail, but do I remember that the Chuckler is played by John Lovitz?
I feel like you should. I feel like there's no reason not to.
Jealous?
I think we established that as canon. To the Batcave! So I think with all these balls in the air, the smartest thing to do might be to make everybody roll initiative.
Perfect. Tommy Punches rolls a 3.
I also rolled a 3.
15 plus 3.
Whew. Must be okay. Nice.
All right. So that means that Crusher, you are at the top of the initiative. You just got knocked onto your butt by Sparrow's cool, like, purple, like dark, not a dark night, but like a bike you would ride at night that is kind of dark and looks dark even in the sunlight because it's all purple and black. Mm-hmm. And you can hear the chuckler coming down the stairs, just slightly louder. You hear his giggling over the gasping, dying sounds of your partner, Ma.
Okay. And I'm pretty low on life as well. I've got like 6 hit points.
And Arnie, you once wrote a song called I'm Pretty Low on Life.
I'm Pretty Low on Life.
In the vein of Toby Keith, is that right? Can we hear some of it?
I'm pretty low on life, but I'm pretty high on bills. Oh, I should have been meth. Ah.
That's from his later years when he graduated out of meth.
I like to think that that's actually how the song goes.
I think I've got a pretty good convincing plea for the sparrow. Even though it didn't work last time, I'm just going to say, hey, look, you're going to be able to beat the shit out of me. There's no question. I'm not going to get away from you. I'm sorry I'm wearing the cougar suit. That is disrespectful. But the real problem is the chuckler is invading the cougar's inner sanctum. I think that's much worse than anything else that's going on right here. You can beat my ass later. Maybe we should team up to take care of him right now.
All right. Why don't you roll persuasion?
I think they recently took a roll on persuasion, and the adaptation apparently isn't all that good.
Yeah, look directly into the camera and then like really truncate a nice Jane Austen line into something pithy.
You gotta marry my sister.
It's a living.
I got a 19.
Okay, well, with a 19, you see the sparrow hop off his bike and come towards you, fist raised, ready to punch your nose through your skull. But as you say that, as you mention the words of the chuckler, the villain that once beat him to death with a, I'm going to say, umbrella, until he came back as like a darker version of himself, he hears that chuckling coming down the stairs and he turns. And he like looks at you and like does like a slow squinted nod, like, yeah, let's team up to deal with this guy. And then he like puts his fist out in front of him and sort of turns to face the stairwell, presumably assuming that you will do the same.
I squint and I also.
Cool.
Anthony, am I able to chime in real quick just to roll to see if I can figure out what happened to Chris O'Donnell?
Ooh. Yeah, you're gonna have to do that disadvantage though, because nobody actually knows.
Okay. Let's see.
Roll Arcana.
Arcana. All right.
Is one of your items CBS though? Because there might be some clues.
Oh, that's
there.
True. He's probably on a CSI or a okay. JAG or something.
So I did roll a 4.
Okay, so no, there's no way of knowing.
Okay. We'll always have scent of a woman.
Yeah. Okay. So do you? I feel like you just talked to Sparrow. If you want to take a further action as you see Chuckler coming down the stairs, I feel like you can. You could also not. It's okay to just be like, I'm going to let Sparrow take the first move.
I think I'm going to let Sparrow go first because I'm not equipped. I'm practically dead, and I've never actually fought a supervillain before.
Perfect. Okay. So it is now Sparrow's turn. So without looking at you, he goes, you go low, I'll go high. And before waiting, without waiting to see if you're going to move or anything, he just sprints forward and like leaps onto the chuckler's shoulders, puts his legs around his neck, tries to do the like the Black Widow like crotch grapple throw, sure. The Hurricanrana. And he begins to like pivot himself around the chuckler's neck, but the chuckler grabs him by the feet and stops his momentum, and then he just turns really quickly and slams the sparrow's head into the door frame of the stairwell, and his body kind of goes limp for a second, and he just falls to the ground, and that's his whole turn, unfortunately.
Ooh, sickening crunch.
I say, you look stupid doing that. That's how I go low.
All right, so the chuckler's turn is next, and he hears you. He hears you go with your classic insult comedy, and he is going to. I'm going to give him a wisdom saving throw to see if it affects him or not. Mm. Okay, so he succeeds pretty handily, and he goes, now, talking about somebody's lack of physical ability, that's a little bit punching down, wouldn't you say? And he's going to wind up his fist like a cartoon character about to smack somebody, and he's going to try to hit you in the ding-dong as he says punching down.
All right, I'm going to release my smoke bombs.
Okay, so let's say you were holding that as a reaction as Sparrow ran up there. So he does this. He's about to let loose, and you drop him? You throw him in his face? How do you do it?
I throw them kind of at his feet, and I just immediately like fall to the ground, like just to, like try to
like a fainting goat
as quickly as possible, like get to a different space than where I was a second ago.
Great. Okay, so the The smoke bomb, they go off, filling the area around you with a dense fog. And you can see just for a second, his fist break through the fog and completely whiff the air. He completely misaimed his punch. Thanks to the smoke, he might have hit you otherwise. But he goes, oh, that's no fun. That's no punchline at all. Come on. Where are you? And he's trying to, like, part the fog with his hands like it's a curtain. And he is going to roll a search action to see if he can find you. Oh, no. Natural 20.
Uh-oh,
so he
no.
he goes, eeny, meeny, miny, there you are. And he grabs you by the scruff of your neck and picks you up like a mama cat with her kitten, and then turns you around to face him. And he goes, well, 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 who's this we have here?
He was crawling around on all fours, but his back was just clearly out of the smoke the whole time.
Right. Yeah, the smoke's really low to the ground.
What does he look like? Like, do you mind just, like, what am I seeing?
Yeah. You know Bozo the Clown?
Mm-hmm.
He's a Chicago institution.
Yeah. So turn up the pervo meter on Bozo by, like, 3 ticks.
Impossible.
Ooh. And
can't be done.
And in the bald part of his head that doesn't have the crazy bowl red cut, it's, like, mm-hmm. spikes, like, kind of pinhead vibe from the top of his head.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Rakuten's Big Give Week is back with 15% cash back. It's a festival of savings at hundreds of stores, including Doc Martens, Ninja Kitchen, and Hotels.com. Prep for summer and save big on beauty, travel, electronics, and more. It's one of Rakuten's biggest cash back events, and it's on May 6th through May 13th. Join today for free and get an extra 10% cash back boost. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app today. That's Rakuten. Shoppers get it.
It's like mm-hmm. spikes, like kind of pinhead vibe from the top of his head.
Does he have any scars or anything on his face?
And how did he get them?
Oh, yeah. He's got tons of them. The stories he could tell you about those scars.
All right, I'm going to add some more because I've got diamond claws and I'm going to just slash him in the face.
I do really love the idea of Clive Barker's Bozo. It's just very appealing to me.
Goof Razor. So he got a natural 20, which means that if you're going to do anything, I feel like it's a disadvantage. So go ahead and roll me an attack roll at disadvantage as you try to claw at him. Again, like a kitten pawing at their mom. I can also do it for you, I think. Plus to hit DC, I just clicked it. Let's see what happens. The slowest 3D dice in the history of dice when I roll across my screen. Oh my God, it was literally slowing down my computer. That's how resource intensive that dice was. All right, so you got a 6, so you whiff. So he goes, oh, this kitten's got claws. And then we're going to cut to, it is Joe Rogan's turn now.
Shit.
And he is going to roll. If he gets a 15 or above, he is going to snap your neck. Anything lower, and he is one turn away from snapping your neck.
Okay.
He got an 8. So you feel your trachea get just a little bit tighter as he compresses it with his thumb. And he's probably saying some stuff about, like, how mushrooms can cure cancer or some nonsense that you're not fully paying attention to because you're too busy focusing on the fact that if nothing is done by the time his turn rolls around again, you will be dead.
And then he has an ad for like a sports betting site that's only takes crypto.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Punches, it is your turn.
And last we saw Punches, he was descending the stairs from the main house. Is that right? Down into the cave?
Correct. Confidently walking away, still chewing the fingers of the screaming Roganites behind him in the library.
So I'm going to take, it seems like the pressing issue is Ma O'Brien's throat. Mm-hmm. So not a phrase I ever thought I'd say. So I think Tommy punches, makes it to the bottom of the stairs, and we see, if it's permissible, Anthony, I think we see a bit of a flashback. And we go to when W. Crusher was in jail for the bullshit that he pulled in episode one. Mm-hmm. We see Tommy punches De Plume in his lab. It's canonical already that he loves pickleball, and he always has a pickleball set on him. And we see him sort of playing pickleball, and he has this light bulb that goes off. And he's in the lab, and he makes himself a nickel ball, and he makes himself a fickle ball, and he makes himself a Travis Bickle ball, and a pickle rickle ball. And he keeps going through all these iterations until finally he comes up with something he calls the tickle ball. Now, it's never been tested in combat, but...
it has been tested in the bedroom.
It has been tested in the bedroom. And 9 out of 10 women love it. And so he takes out this prototype tickle ball, and he's going to attempt to hit it with his pickleball paddle to hit Joe Rogan, to tickle him enough to where he would let go of Ma O'Brien.
I love that. Give me a ranged attack roll. I'll also note that when we started doing this series, I thought you just made up pickleball as like a funny improv thing. I didn't realize it was an actual thing.
It is sweeping the nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the number one new sport for people between the ages of 55 and 80.
big range.
Go ahead and just roll a d20 and then add a 4 to it.
So that's an 8 plus 4 is 14.
14. Okay, cool. So
wait, what? That's a 12, guys. 8 plus 4?
Matt, give it to me.
Right. He's trying to save you, man.
I'm trying to save your trachea.
You are going to put out on the internet that you can't add two fucking numbers together, and I'm trying to save your ass.
I already put out on the internet, my dude. Tickle ball.
So the tickle ball screams through the air towards the perfectly hairless orboid head of Joseph Rogan, and just as it's about to hit him right in the neck, right in his roided out neck, his hand shoots up and away from Ma's neck and grabs it out of the air and crushes it in his hand into a fine powder. And he like very slowly turns and looks at you, and he goes, "Oh, you want a little of the Joe Rogan experience too?"
I imagine that he, with his glistening bald head, that his eyes and face and everything are in the front, and then it kind of sucks into a skull, and then they come out the back of his head.
Yeah. Like that. Like how the T-1000 doesn't turn around that one time. He just puts all his features on the opposite side of his body. Yeah, that's actually what he does. So you go from Ma, your experience is that he's looking directly at you, to suddenly the flesh of his face and body morph, and he's like holding his arm behind him now, facing away from you and looking at punches.
Perfect.
So I believe that is Ma's turn now, unless you wanted to use your movement to put yourself anywhere special punches.
Yeah, I think I would run as close to Joe Rogan as possible to set up for the next turn.
Man.
Great. So you sprint to within arm's reach of him. It is now your turn. Ma, if he decides to resume his choking of you, you will die. But in this moment, you have at least something to do because he's only got one arm on you instead of two.
I am pretty badly beat up, though. Although we didn't really keep track of any hit points there, so I assume I'm like at one or something.
Let's go with that, sure.
Yeah, so I'm in a pretty desperate state. Both my legs are broken. I'm not sure how I can help here, other than to obviously attempt once again to use my prayer beads in the hopes that Jesus Christ will appear and save us all.
All right.
Just as a reminder for people from the first episode, I came up with this item, and this is exactly what I sent to Anthony originally. I think I'm probably Catholic, so if I pray, I think there should be a one in Googaplex chance that Jesus shows up and fights my enemies and whisks us away or some other actual miracle. But I think we settled on rolling a D100, correct?
Yes, I think D100 is a more reasonable chance.
I mean, it should be unreasonable, but I'll roll the D100 and see what we get.
I'm excited that we're about to have the verisimilitude of someone praying to save them on their deathbed and then it not working.
I got an 18.
Oh, that's the secret Jesus number. So yeah, he shows up.
Yeah.
Nope.
Man.
Turns out God's not real. But your broken legs are. I'll say that's a free action.
Pray to them. Pray to your broken fucking legs, dude.
It's a free action. Great.
It's a free perfect. Action. I'm going to say you can still do something else if you'd like to. If you want to, you know, swat at his arms. Or
is the secret of this that there is no number? Because that's perfect.
Oh, that'd be a good move. Yeah, no. I was going to say if you hit 100, that would be the number.
Yeah. 169. Okay.
69, he just comes in and blows you. He doesn't help.
And says reciprocation. I do think, Matt, you fucked up. You should have had some sort of like whistle or lute where if you played a secret chord, you would please the Lord.
You'd please him. Which he wouldn't show up to help you. He would just be pleased.
Well, I think I just have to cast Cure Wounds on myself.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
So I guess, what does that do for me? 1d8 plus 5.
That's a lot for somebody at your level.
Yeah. Well, I basically can't do shit else anything.
That's fine.
So 9, which gets me back up to 11.
Great.
All right. I'm sort of healed. My throat's feeling better. Oh, yeah. This is nice.
Harvey Firestein?
I got to call my lawyer. What is it that you look into yourself and feel, or what, you know, what ointment or drug do you use on yourself that gives you the strength to realize like, oh, you know, this hurts a lot and this is not a permanent solution, but like I could maybe get to my feet, or I can at the very least breathe a little
when
easier.
My throat is crushed, I open a ball jar of minestrone and I just like chug the whole thing down.
Great. Okay.
The Strony to the rescue.
All right. We are back up to Crusher. Very similar to Ma, the Chuckler is holding you dangling, and you see as he produces a big, shiny knife, and he slowly begins to move it towards your throat. So what are you going to do on your turn?
I'm going to do two things, if I may. One of them is just talking. I'm going to say, hey, whoa, 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 look, obviously you could kick my ass, you could kill me, no problem. But that's not your biggest problem right now. Right now, Joe Rogan is gathering the Cougar's boots. He's already got the boots. And also, he's teaming up with Don Tribbiani and the Giggler. You're going to need all the help you can get. We gotta team up, man. I'm going to team up with you, and we'll go after them together.
I love that every time Artie takes a turn, he's like partnering up with someone who's about to kill him. That's his secret weapon, is teamwork.
Well, what if we were friends? What if we skip to the sequel in this Fast and Furious? Yeah, he's got the most HP out of anybody right now. So why don't you roll Persuasion? Or Deception. I feel like this is actually Deception.
Yeah, I'm going to do Deception because I'm slightly better at that.
Great.
I got a 17 plus 4.
Wow. Okay.
Ooh, a 26. Nice.
So he goes, oh, you're right. You're just some nerd cosplaying as my arch enemy. I should be far more. Actually, you know what? With the cougar dead, that means that the sparrow is the new cougar, and I've always wanted to kill the cougar, so that means I still can. Look at you. Oh, you're my new sidekick. What's your name going to be? Your name should be...
Do I get a say in this?
I'm taking notes. Go ahead.
While we're sort of brainstorming this, my other action is I'm going to use sleight of hand to just kind of see if I can pull any kind of thing out of his pockets.
Oh, sure. Okay. Give me a roll.
I got a 10 plus 5, 15.
You see a little handkerchief out of his jacket sleeve, and as you subtly yank on it, you see that it's actually a razor-sharp garrote, like piano wire.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to just kind of keep that, though.
Sure.
Because honestly, everyone I've teamed up with so far has just ended up immediately dying, so I'm hoping...
So he goes... Time's up. I think your cool nickname is Chuckler Jr. And he's going to go, Chuckler Jr., make yourself a ball. And he turns and he hurls you as hard as he can at Sparrow.
Okay. And I say, let's do this, Papa.
You've got it, son. You've got it. Okay. So he rolls on 19. So you hit Sparrow pretty fucking hard. And you take a D4 of damage. Ooh. Sparrow's going to take a D6 of damage. Takes fine. He's not looking good. And you've pinned him to the ground. He just begun to get to sort of shake some sense back into his head, but now you're pinning him. So it is his turn now. He is going to... Oh, sure. Go ahead.
By the way, I took 4 damage, so I'm down to 2.
Great.
Well, I wouldn't say that's great, Anthony. Mm-hmm.
I'd say it's delightful for the and drama.
While I'm bashing into the sparrow's body, I'm going to whisper to him, oh, we're still together, buddy. We can do this.
He goes, so he grunts you, I know, friend of friends. I know you're my partner till the end. All right.
You must have the most trusting eyes in the world.
So Sparrow is going to spend his turn getting to his feet and shoving you off of him. And he's going to put his hands out in front of him and sort of do a come hither, let's go kind of a finger-tutting thing at the Chuckler. And the two of them are going to run straight at each other. It's the Chuckler's turn now. And the Chuckler is going to go, this is how you do it, and try to do the exact same very sexual Black Widow, legs around your head, like tuck and rolly thingy. And he is going to also get it too. So his legs freeze up there, and the Sparrow just like bites him directly in the crotch as hard as he can.
Ooh.
And the Chuckler just starts going, he's laughing and crying and in a ton of pain, and he's just flailing around, and Sparrow's trying to hold him onto his shoulders. And the two of them seem like they are pretty well distracted by one another.
Breath, I'm like, is this how this usually goes?
In my heart of hearts, the Chuckler, when he said this is how you do it, he definitely said it in the Montel Jordan cadence.
This is how you do it. So it is Joe Rogan's turn now. Joe Rogan is going to let go of Ma as he feels Ma sort of stand up behind him. And he is going to, with punches running straight at him, he is just going to bend over forward so that the top of his bald head is facing punches as punches runs at him. But then as punches continues to run up, you see that his head begins to turn into a fist and his entire body reshapes. So that's his outstretched arm and the fist is there.
Yes, please.
So he's going to try to punch you. And
ooh, do both of his hands turn into Joe Rogan heads?
Yeah. Now he's just one big fist with two small Joe Rogan heads on the end of his arms.
Punches a headbutt?
Yep. So he hits a 19, which I assume beats your AC.
Oh, yeah.
So go ahead and take 6 damage.
Got it.
All right. He gets you right in the solar plexus. It doesn't feel great. And he is basically blocking the way. You're going to have to, you know, knock him down, climb over him, or do something to get past him if you do indeed want to get past him. But that was his turn, was going into J-Row fist mode. And now it is Punch's turn.
So Tommy Punches stands up and kind of dusts himself off, even though there's no additional dust on his clothing. And he looks Joe Rogan straight in the eyes, and he kind of cracks his neck, and he goes, I came here to do two things. Chew bubblegum and kick ass. And then he reaches into his back pocket and pulls out some dentine ice and starts to chew it. And there's kind of an awkward silence, an awkward moment where I'm sure Joe Rogan probably doesn't know what to do, and Tommy Punches is kind of just stalling for time.
And in the background, you hear the computer go,
2 minutes to detonation.
And as Tommy is chewing gum, which is what he always does to help him think, that's how he came up with the tickle ball. He suddenly remembers an item he has stashed in his boot. So he reaches down to his ankle and pulls out an item I don't think I've used yet, which is called the Nice Knife.
Yeah, I don't think you have.
So the Nice Knife is a small pocket knife that causes a person to be temporarily nicer to you when you stab them with it. The way I envisioned it is maybe rolling like a D10, mm-hmm. and the person you stab is that percentage nicer to you.
Okay, I love that. That's great.
So I attempt to stab Joe Rogan with a Nice Knife.
Okay, go ahead and give me a D20 roll.
As an 18.
Ooh. Great. Yeah, that knife goes wherever you want it to.
Is his head still a fist?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna.
But his fists are also heads.
Ooh. But fists are smaller. So I'm going to aim for his neck, his fat, fucking squat, Sequoia-esque neck. So I'll roll a D10 to see what percentage nicer he is. That's a 9, so he's 90% nicer.
Whoa. We're saying we're also multiplying it by 10? I don't recall you saying that before you stabbed a guy.
Well, that's a 10%. Come on, give it to me.
I'll say that he's 9% nicer.
All right, I'll take
that,
it.
But that manifests in him being like, bro, I didn't know you'd be strong enough to break. Not a lot of people can break through this skin. You realize, you know what I do to the skin every day? The supplements I take and shit. This shit should be like an iron hide. I should be like the Rhino from The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Paul Giamatti status, bro. And he is impressed by the fact that you managed to penetrate his hide. And he like crosses his arms and looks at you and he goes, what supplements you on? What are you lifting?
Oh, yeah, I take antler velvet. I do CrossFit. Also, I didn't know I was talking and fighting with a fellow Giamatti head. Cinderella Man, one of the greatest cinematic masterpieces of all time.
Oh, the part is when it's in slow motion and he's punching the air and stuff. I felt like I was right there punching the air with him.
Oh, yeah, and sideways. Since sideways, I have never drank a glass of fucking Merlot in my life.
Oh, I would never sully these lips.
I would never.
I'm going to roll a dice for him to continue this. Okay, he got a 2. So whatever the next Paul Giamatti movie that you like, he hates it.
What about Agent Cody Banks?
Fuck you, Agent Cody. He's not in that one. He's in Big Fat Lie, you piece of shit.
Oh, no.
You dumb motherfucker. This guy's not a real Giamatti head. Oh, you son of a bitch. I'm twice as mad now. I'm now 18% madder than I was before. And undid your shit.
Oh,
so he's
going
to reach for you. So it's not his turn yet, but he's basically going to reach for you and try to grapple your fucking head and like gouge your eyes out with his thumbs.
Gotcha.
Ma, it is your turn.
Am I ambulatory in any possible way now?
Yes. Yes.
Can I get to where Crusher is?
Yeah, you just have to, you know, get down the stairs. It'll be a little slogan, but that minestrone or whatever you ate has probably got you the pep in your step you need to get down there.
Oh, it feels so good to have a little minestrone, just a little pick-me-up. I got a Crusher. Here, I have to touch him. I have to get close enough to touch him. It was like a little 8-ounce jar that I drank, but I take out a 16-ounce jar, and I hand it to Crusher for him to drink this up. Drink this up. You got to drink it up.
All right, thanks.
And that gets him 16 healed.
Wow.
Truly a maw to the very end.
Yeah. You look hungry.
Eat up, eat up, eat up.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, what have you been up to up there?
I'm going to die.
All right. So Crusher with 16 new shiny hit points. It is your turn again.
All right. So, shit. Matt, what do you think? Should we together just try to figure out this car?
I mean, we do need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Or should I be like going to try to save Punches?
Why are you asking her?
Can we see him from where we're at? Like,
yeah,
how far
you're both
away
at the bottom
Punches?
Of the stair. You both right. are at the bottom of the staircase, which means you can look up and you can see Joe Rogan's form sort of moving in his hands, moving in to strangle or crush the face of Punches. You can see it's all about to happen up there.
He's kind of in the doorway on the way coming down, right?
Exactly, yeah. And okay. You're also standing at the doorway to the exit down into the Cougar Cave, so you can also see there's the supercomputer, which Sparrow and the Chuckler are currently fighting next to, and then beyond that is the dais with the Cougar Mobile. And you know from how the dais lowered, showing the Sparrow and his bike, that dais, if properly activated, leads out of the mansion and onto the surface.
Okay.
Or you could try to go back up the stairs and leave the way you came in on your feet.
All right. Here's what I think I'm going to do. I'm going to start running up the stairs.
Running up that hill.
I'm going to make a deal with God.
We tried that. Didn't work.
That's true. I'm going to, like, I'm talking to Joe Rogan. I'm pretending like I'm not talking to him specifically. Like that kind of like walking out of a room, like, whoa, the crazy stuff going on in there.
Sure.
I'm like,
extra in a movie setting up a foreshadowed little fact later on kind of vibe.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, I can't believe that the Chuckler is definitely going to kill the Sparrow down there. He's going to get a lot of glory out of that. He's about like a punch or two away from really being the most important villain in all of Shadow City.
Okay. Why don't you roll persuasion again?
Okay.
This is all horse shit.
I'm allowed to lie, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Crusher's main,
it's amazing. It's
Crusher's
amazing.
Main skill set seems to be mental terrorism.
Yeah, it's well, I guess it'd be deception, not persuasion. Yeah, so roll deception.
Okay, yeah, okay, good. I got 16 plus 4, 20.
Wow. Okay.
Incredible.
I've never seen a better rags-to-riches D&D story than your first scene to this scene.
Here's the thing. I should have realized I should just talk to people and not actively do anything. Every time I've tried to fight or something, it's gone really badly.
Yeah. So, yeah, you say all that stuff, and Rogan, who has now grabbed Punches, hasn't started, you know, putting the hurt on him yet, but has him in both hands, turns around and goes, what? I'm the most important villain. Hold on, what the fuck? And then he, like, still holding Punches in his hand, in his hands ahead of him, Punches dangling, his legs dangling above the ground with his skull in the meaty palms of Joe Rogan, rushes down the stairs with a wide stance, going, wait for me. And so he's going to rush down the stairs towards you, and...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And so he's going to rush down the stairs towards you. And I think, yeah, on his turn, he will shove his way past you and Ma. And he sees, it is now Sparrow's turn, he sees Barrow continuing to bite into the Chuckler's blood, blood and confetti and little Jack in the Box, like, ooh, like a little, like the snakes from the peanut jars are like all flying out of the hole in his pants. And Sparrow is going to basically try to do like a sit-up power bomb and just like slam him down onto the ground as hard as he can.
I love all these like ultimate dragon moves.
Yeah.
I also like to imagine the Chuckler like every day stuffs all the stuff in his pants. And he's just like,
just
you know
in
what?
Case.
If somebody bites my dick, this is going to really pay off.
If I have to do that kind of surprise, they're going to get quite a surprise as well. So Sparrow got a natural 20. Mm. So what he fucking does, he does the full razor's edge. He like stops biting his dick, like puts him onto his back in a crucifix pose, and then slams the Chuckler down as hard as he can. The Chuckler's head hits the ground at just the wrong angle and at just the wrong amount of force, and his neck just snaps so hard that it echoes through the cougar cave. And a little like what seems to be a pre-recorded message from his bow tie can be heard tinny out of a little speaker, and he goes, and then a ticking noise begins on the Chuckler's body. Now it is the Chuckler's turn. Chuckler's dead. So the computer says
1 minute to destruction.
And Chuckler's body says
13 seconds to destruction.
And Joe Rogan sees that Sparrow just killed the Chuckler, which makes Joe Rogan the biggest villain in Shadow City. So I'm going to have him roll to decide whether he cares about avenging the Chuckler and killing the Sparrow, or if he's just going to bounce. He got a natural one. So he's going to go, Joe Rogan! And he's going to put his head down and charge Sparrow as hard as he can. And
so where's Punches in all this? Is he still...
Punches is still in the hands of Joe Rogan. He's going to lower his head and like charge at Sparrow. And now Punches is... he's like palmed Punches' head like a basketball and has him in one hand to his side. And so Punches' legs are dragging along the ground as Joe Rogan leans over and bum rushes Sparrow and hits him in the stomach with his shoulder. Sparrow does the thing where he like slams him on the back like fucking Captain Kirk fighting the Gorn. And they're enmeshed in a like not very good punch him, drag out fight while Punches is still in the iron vice grip of Joe Rogan. Punches, it is now your turn.
Okay, guys, so the cave's going to explode in 1 minute and the Chuckler's going to explode in 13 seconds. So 60 minus 60 minus 10, we have 50 seconds to get out.
And let's see. Since my tickle ball didn't work, I'm going to go manual and I'm going to use my own little mitts, my own huge hands to try and tickle Joe Rogan manually as he's grasping the top of my head.
Go ahead. Roll sleight of hand. Or an attack, or whatever you would like to roll.
Ooh, love to see that. That's a three.
A three. So yeah, you try to tickle him, but the as he said before, his skin is so hard and so much like Paul Giamatti's that he cannot feel the tender loving touch of your phalanges hitting his skin, unfortunately.
Great. So Anthony, I'm going to use a special ability I think I have. So looking on my character sheet, I think I have something called coming to terms, where I roll to just close my eyes and be at peace be at peace with death. There's no need to roll for it.
Yeah, no, I think you just automatically succeed in that one. You think about all the good times you've had.
Yeah.
All right, Ma, it is your turn. By the time it goes to the Chuckler's turn again, Chuckler will explode. So it's Ma, then Crusher, then Sparrow, and after that, the Chuckler is going to explode. So Ma, it is your turn right now.
Oh, man. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Am I within 30 feet of punches?
Yes.
I am going to cast Bless, level 2 Bless, which means whenever a target makes an attack roll or a saving throw before the spell ends, the target can roll a d4 and add the number rolled to the attack roll or saving throw. So hopefully there's some kind of saving throw.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Out of this explosion. So I cast Bless on punches.
Great. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, so punches, you are blessed. If the time comes to making a saving throw, which there will be one when the chuckler explodes, you will be able to add a d10 to it.
And what that looks like is I go, oh, punches, my boy, I love you. Mwah, 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 mwah.
Love you.
Yeah, and that sound is over what Punches was doing, which was coming to terms with his own death, but he remembers that he has a ma who loves him very much.
Yeah. Mm.
Crusher, it is your turn.
All right.
I do love the idea. You never see it in like the Marvel movies where it's like as Iron Man is dying from Thanos or something that Spider-Man's like, love you, while swinging away.
You're like a father to me. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Lilas. So is it fair to say that if I can just get Joe Rogan to let go of punches...
If you could make Joe Rogan let go, Trump would have never gotten president.
Damn.
To answer your question, though, yes. If Joe Rogan let go of punches, punches would be able to ambulate on his own accord.
Okay.
I have a Honda Accord.
I'm going to throw the glaive.
Oh.
The prop from
your
Crawl.
Your prized possession.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw
it. Say it like Jerry Lee.
And hopefully, like, but I'm going to throw it, like, in front of Joe Rogan, like, intentionally clattering to the ground loudly so he can see it.
The glaive.
And
thank you.
Because it's been clearly established that Joe Rogan, big movie fan.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, oh, wait, hold on. Is that an authentic prop from the movie Crawl?
All right, so you're going to have to make two rolls. One to get it in front of Joe's field of view, and then a persuasion to make him care about it.
And I imagine Joe Rogan is wearing a t-shirt that says Giamatti by Nature, sort of a play on Naughty by Nature.
It says Mind over Giamatter.
11 plus 4, that's a 15.
15. Okay, that's exactly what you needed. So the glaive clatters to the ground perfectly in front between Sparrow and Joe Rogan, and he's looking down, and it just suddenly enters his field of view. And he stutter steps for a second.
And then my persuasion, however, is just a 5.
Just a 5. Oh, okay. So he sees the glaive. What do you say?
Just a 5. That's Timothy Oliphant, I want to say.
I say, hey, isn't that the glaive? And it's clearly not convincing.
Yeah. And he goes, I don't watch nerd shit, and just continues to
And I say, I think it was also used in Shoot 'Em Up. Paul Giamatti. I'm guessing.
Roll deception with disadvantage.
That would be Joe Rogan's favorite Giamatti movie.
The part where he touches that girl's tip when she's dead. Oh, what a good joke. What a fun, normal tool joke.
Oh, no. Is this a real movie?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
It was almost a good movie, and then everything about the movie was bad.
Mm-hmm. Shoot 'em up?
This close. Shoot 'em up.
Changed all of the things they did along the whole way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
14 plus 4, got an 18.
Okay,
deception,
so I said,
is
shit.
My thing.
I said disadvantage, so you got to roll again and take the worst of the two.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So I'll do that again. And I got a 22. So that
Jesus.
18 stands.
God damn.
Okay, so he stops right where he is. The surprise that someone would invoke Clive Owen's worst movie, which is saying something, makes his hands go limp as he stands up straight and he goes, did somebody say shoot him up? And he turns around and looks at you dead in the eye and gives you the Rogan stare, and you are now transfixed by Joseph Rogan. But he has let go of punches just in time for Sparrow's turn. So Sparrow takes advantage of the fact that Joseph Rogan is facing away from him and jumps onto his back, and he's going to try to push Joe Rogan onto the Chuckler's body.
Mm.
With 17. Okay, so with a 17, he successfully, like, leaps off. He does like a wall jump off of Joe Rogan's back and sort of does a backflip, and the like force of his like feet hitting his back causes Joe Rogan to go whoa, whoa, and he stumbles forward and lands directly on top of the Chuckler, just in time for the little tinny voice in the Chuckler's bow tie to go 3, 2, 1
Joke's on you!
And he explodes, and Joe Rogan detonates in a flash of meat, fire, testosterone, and cryptocurrency.
That cookbook.
And protein powder.
And meat. It's like you know when they tried to blow up that whale, that beached whale? There are chunks of Joe Rogan hitting the ceiling of the cougar cave. And every one of you gets a little bit of Joe on you, just as we all have gotten a little bit. We're all a little bit responsible for Joseph Rogan.
Ambergris everywhere.
It's like the little Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in the latest Ghostbusters movie. There's just a bunch of little Joes.
Yeah, all you've all done is multiply him into a bunch of small, like, Army of Darkness Joe Rogans. Anti-vax. Joe Rogan is dead, and it is now Punches. It is your turn once again. Everyone is dead except for Sparrow, who is looking at the three of you down here. All of you are covered in gunk.
40 seconds left until detonation of entire Cougar Cave and also the house.
And I think Tommy punches the plume. I think at this point he truly has come to terms and is at peace with his own mortality. So I think even though he's free from the grasps of Joe Rogan, his eyes are glazed over like a great white shark. I think he is in his own transcendental meditation, and probably his mantra that he keeps repeating is, "My friends will never leave me. My friends will never leave me. My friends will never leave me." So I think he is completely unable to sort of reclaim his autonomy.
Ooh, okay. In that case,
Ma, we gotta leave him.
It is your turn, Ma.
Punches, get in the car!
And he snaps out of it and runs over.
All right. So Punches and Ma and Crusher.
Yeah, we just run for the car.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you just run for the Cougar Mobile as Sparrow pursues you. He's hot on your heels. You got an extra second ahead of him because he was too busy dealing with the fact that he, who never kills, just murdered effectively two people. But you all run into the car door. Or you run into the car. You run into the car and slam the door shut behind you. And he begins to pound on the window of the car door as the timer. So we're out of initiative now. The door's auto lock. He's pounding on the outside of the door. It's a little bit soundproof, so you can barely hear him. You can see his mouth. And he's trying to get you to open the door or roll down the window.
I try to gesture like, "Don't worry, I'll get these two."
How would describe those hand gestures?
I'm like, I give him thumbs up.
Okay.
And like a point me.
So he thinks you're mocking him.
No, and then like a me and you buddy, like sort of smiling.
The finger like, back and forth.
Me and you. Yeah. And then like fake, like wave my fist at those other two. Like, oh, you two.
Yeah, I'm not even going to make you roll for that. He definitely does not believe that. The timer counts down 20 seconds. You're in the car. It's not moving. The dais hasn't started moving. There's just a bunch of buttons in here. You don't really know what they do.
Oh, shit.
What are you going to do? You have 20 seconds before the cave explodes.
Is there a dais button?
You can roll Arcana or Investigation to see if you can find the right button.
Some kind of deus machina?
Yeah. Ooh, seven. Not great.
Seven, you turn on the, ironically, the satellite radio, and you hear Joseph Rogan's last recorded show that he did, which was about always wearing bomb-proof vests. And turns out he didn't practice what he preached.
15 seconds until death.
Shit, somebody else do something.
I'm just going to hit a button.
All right. Roll investigate. You're just going to hit a completely random button? If you want to hit a random button, just roll a d20.
All right. I'm going to hit a completely random button. Two.
So the car goes self-destruct initiated in 5 seconds.
Oh, shit.
And I think Tommy Punches is kind of, he's in the back seat and he's still a little out of it. And he can't quite sit comfortably. And he reaches down into his pants and he pulls out the cougar doll that he had stolen from the toy store from across the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And just for S's and G's, he presses the talk button on the back of the doll.
Great. So the cougar doll goes, "I'm never going to die." And the car goes,
"Voice print identified. Turning on all the signs that tell you what the buttons are."
And all the lights come on in the along the dash, and all the different buttons have different labels associated with them now. And it says,
"Detonating in 5, 4, 3.
And you have one, you know, you have 3 seconds for it to press a button to do something.
I rolled investigation again and got an 18.
Perfect. What kind of button are you looking for?
I am looking for the exit or cave exit button, whatever I think that looks like.
Sure. So you press what looks, the first button you see that says exit on it, But the icon on it is a little bit confusing. You think it looks like a cave, but as you press it, you realize it's the ejector seats.
Shit.
And the ejector, the dome of the car opens, the ejector seats shoot upward and towards the ceiling of the cave, which is unfortunately still closed. Basically, the dashboard came with you, like all the chairs in the dashboard came out at the same time, and you were hurtling towards the ceiling. So thankfully, you're not going to explode from the Cougar Mobile exploding, and you see as it does behind you, and Sparrow, it like does a cool like jump dive away from it as it explodes. You have one more action before all three of you are turned into paste at the big metal lip of the cave exit. And there's still buttons you can try to press. Actually, with your 18 investigation, I'll tell you the different punch buttons you can press.
Great.
One of them says laser. One of them says cushion. One of them says sky. And one of them says vibes.
Sky.
All right. You press the sky button and the door covering the cave opens up and reveals the night sky.
I was hoping it was a Gaia's Doll soundtrack was going to play, but.
And you sail into
sail.
into the polluted night air, midnight air of Shadow City as beneath you. You hear Sparrow shouting angrily. He goes, "I'll get you for this. What, you didn't have a gang name, but you three assholes specifically, I'll get you." And
I yell, "Save me, Sparrow."
Because I will. Yeah. I'll avenge you.
Save me, Papa.
I still believe you. I'm still on your side somehow. And the cave beneath you, you hear an explosion rock the cave, and then another and another and another. And eventually a firewall plume explodes out from the cave exit that you just jettisoned out of. And then the Philanthropy Manor also explodes. The windows shatter outward. And as the parachutes open on your seats and you sort of slowly drift to the ground, you see Bob Robinkirk circle back around in your jalopy. And he gets out and sort of puts his arm on the roof of the car and then just watches you all float down. And as you land, he goes, "Whoa. So are we rich? Did we get paid? What happened, guys?"
And Tommy kind of shakes out his pants legs and all the silverware that he stole from the manor kind of fall out.
Great. So he goes, "Okay, I think I know a guy in Getropolis who can fence that for us. Why don't we go for a ride?" He opens the car door and one of you, your phone rings and you can see that it is from Don Tribbiani.
Hello, Don.
Do you have Prince Albert in a can?
Is this Don Tribbiani?
Yes, it's me, Donald Tribbiani. That's me.
It doesn't sound like you. It's me, Ma.
Oh, hi, Ma. Can you put on Crusher for me?
Sure. Hold on.
Hey, buddy. What's going on? How you doing?
Hi. You remember how you told me that Don Tribbiani was the one who killed the cougar and he had a bunch of reasons that I should go and murder him? Remember that?
I think I said that Don Tribbiani is the cougar.
Oh, that is what you said. I forgot. It's been so long.
It's all right, man. It's been a long night for everybody.
It has, even though I left, I think, canonically about 15 minutes ago. I just wanted to say thank you because I know you lied to me. I murdered him and his whole family and searched his whole estate, and I didn't find a single piece of cougar memorabilia. So just so you know, I'm going to spend the rest of my days and potentially any sequel campaigns trying to find a way to hunt you down and murder you.
What's he saying? Put it on speaker.
It's nothing. Okay, you're going to find me. Don't forget, like, I answered the phone the first time. My name is Ma.
What are you talking about? We don't sound anything alike.
A little bit.
Cool. So he says toodaloo and he hangs up. And the group of you with a couple armfuls of silverware, a couple of murders on your conscience, and still wielding all of the cougar's equipment,
mm-hmm.
get back in the car, now debt free, although with a pretty significant price in your head from the giggler. And you drive towards Getropolis, and hopefully while you're there, you don't run afoul of that city's premier vigilante. Cool guy. Really good guy.
Ooh, and Tommy, as we're riding, and I assume the windows are down, Tommy says,
"You know, the sparrow was right. We don't have a name for our gang. He called us three assholes. It has a ring to it."
"Yeah, I suppose it does, sort of. But, you know, what do we really want to do with our lives? We're going to a new city, and we've got all this stuff. And their best superhero is Cool Guy. What if one of you guys became the Cougar? The new Cougar? And we helped you out. We turned over a new leaf.
Or we could use it as an advantage to sucker people. I heard the people in this town are real suckers, and they're not ready. They're easy to con, right?"
"Well, I think we can all agree our strength is agreeing with each other."
And Tommy feels a tickle behind his ear, like some sort of mosquito or maybe a wasp or something. And he kind of flicks behind his ear at a little whatever's back there, and it flies out the window, and a tiny Joe Rogan hits
no!
hits the, hits the streets and liquefies into a puddle and falls down into the drain.
And then, like, the T-1000 just reforms itself and starts slowly walking to follow your car. All right, I think that's probably it, other than potentially Robin Kirk saying, like, "Well, you're three assholes, but there's four of us, and yeah. I don't think we're assholes. I think we're pretty fantastic. Hey, wait a minute."
I look at him, and I point at him and myself. I give him the thumbs up, and then I sort of shake my fist at the other two.
The gesticulators, that's our name.
The hand and, boys. Yes.
The hand boys.
And the fourth asshole is always silent.
Yay!
This was awesome. Anthony, thank you so much for doing
yeah.
this.
Thank you for inviting me to do it. It was truly a pleasure.
This has been a really great experience, and I want to dissect it very quickly and very briefly here.
Go for it.
And just say, like, from listening to Dungeons & Daddies a lot, I have a new appreciation for how creative everyone is coming into that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's easy for me to improvise and do things when we're kind of, like, not trying to play a game, but, like, even seeing the way Adel kind of, like, invents things on the fly and, like, incorporates them into the game, like, I want to come back and do that and, like, be like, oh, I can push the boundaries a little bit and I can come up with more far-out stuff and, like...
Yeah.
That was cool. That was a really cool way to think about the game as, like, a structure that you can push the limits of it a little mm-hmm. bit more. So that was
yeah.
really fun.
It's interesting because I as somebody who listens to Magic Tavern and was on and did not a great job, my whole
you did
thing
a great
was like
job.
Not
a
having
job.
Like the structure and the numbers and the dice rolling and stuff, like those gates make it a lot easier for me to make shit up. Whereas yeah. what you all do on a weekly basis of just like, hey, let's just be funny at each other is the most petrifying thing I can imagine doing at a regular cadence. So I'm as always very impressed by y'all.
Oh, thanks, man.
We're yeah. so funny at each other.
your comedy exactly is a contact sport.
I'm lucky enough to play D&D with Rush Howell, who plays Larry Bourbon. But it's so wonderful to have a DM who's just like, you say or do something, and they're like, yeah, cool, let's figure this out together. Mm-hmm. Versus I've played D&D with DMs where it's like, you say or do something, they're like, you can't really do that. That's not, yeah. I didn't plan for that, so we cannot do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think D&D is much more fun when nobody really knows what's going to happen and you're just sort of finding the most fun story for yourselves together.
Absolutely.
And sometimes that story involves a 60-minute flashback that, like, never really comes back in any significant way, but you're glad you did it.
Well, I think Arnie's right that he did learn, because in that first episode, he was just killing left and right. And
but also, it was just because he failed to lie to people. It's not even like he changed his approach. He was just bad right. at doing it initially.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a character arc.
Yeah. It took me a long time. It was my friendship, though, with Garden Kirk that really turned everything around for me.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I don't want to advocate for prison reform, so.
All right. Well, that was super fun. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Shadow City.
And I would like to encourage everyone, if you don't already, listen to Dungeons & Daddies. I am not a big... I don't listen to many...
don't listen.
Dungeons & Dragons podcasts. But I am sincerely a big fan of Dungeons and Daddies.
Thank you very much.
I'm a Patreon supporter and everything, and I highly recommend
Same, yeah.
people check it out.
Wow, thank you.
And this would be really weird if it happened, but if you subscribe to our Patreon and have never listened to our show and you started here, I would also highly recommend listening to Hello from the Magic Tavern.
That would be a good move.
Because this wasn't the place to start. But
while we're at it, guys, I'd like to recommend everyone get into podcasts.
Thank you.
Nerf, it is so cold here. Do you know how to make it less cold?
Yeah. Yeah, there's thermostats all over the place, but only one of them is real.
What is a thermostat?
It controls the temperature. It also gives people a sense of power.
Oh, got it. Okay. So how we burn the bones of our enemies to keep our hovel warm, that is what these machines do?
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly what it's like. I made you a sweater.
Oh, Nerf. I always forget that you are a master crocheter.
I know you do, and that's what I love about you. That's another reason I love you. You forget stuff about me.
So that it's every time I am introduced to it once again, I am being delighted for the first time.
It's like you're meeting me all over again for the first time.
That's one of the benefits of being in goblin perimenopause. My memory is starting to go.
Oh, yeah, looking for me. Well, here's a sweater. I'll find the right thermostat so that you're not chilly anymore.
Okay, thank you. Oh, speaking of which, the episode is over, so I guess I have to do the outro credits.
Oh, okay.
Crusher was played by Arnie Niekamp. Ma O'Brien was played by Matt Young. Tommy Punches de Plume was played by Adil Rafai. The Game Master was Anthony Birch. Check out Anthony's great podcast, Dungeons and Daddies. Shadow City was produced by Arnie Niekamp, Matt Young, and Adil Rafai. Post-production coordination by Garrett Schultz. Edited by Sage GC. Shadow City logo by Allard Laban. Shadow City theme music by Sage GC. That's the end of Season 1 of Shadow City. But if you want to hear Season 2, you're in luck, because all of it is already available on the Magic Tavern Patreon. Oh, the Patreon is great. Supporters of the show get ad-free episodes and at least 2 bonus episodes each month. Here's a clip of the most recent Patreon episode, More Offices and Bosses.
And Jose, before you leave, would you like to play out a scenario where you're peer pressured to take drugs and you weasel out of it?
Sure.
Yeah, we got time for that.
I got him. You still got it, Don't Pony.
And Don't Pony's thrilled. So he clearly wants to get through this quickly because he's surprised that you said yes to this. So the three of you are given a scenario by Don't Pony. He is going to approach you in school dressed as like a hip kid with huge pants. Couldn't be wider. Just the biggest pants you've ever seen. And he's going to try and tempt you with drugs. And he's kind of whispered to you on stage, resist these drugs just so we can kind of teach a lesson and have this scenario kind of play out.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey.
Hey. You guys want some drugs?
Hell yeah, brother.
No, thank you. You meant to say it's opposite day here.
Yeah, I think that we, although none of us are closing the door entirely on doing drugs in the future, we're not interested in taking drugs today.
To hear the rest of that and to learn more about supporting the show, visit patreon.com/magictavern. We've run through all of Season 1 of Shadow City, but don't worry, we'll be back with something else special in 2 weeks' time.
I've collected all the paper punches in this building. I think we should start using this as currency.
Paper punches? Show it to me.
Oh, look at you, see? And then you open this up and it's like little bits of paper. And we can throw them at each other.
They're like tiny, tiny snowballs.
Yeah, tiny snowballs.
Nerf, no one is looking. Should we lay these on the ground, take off our cloths, and roll around in them?
Oh, yes, please. Floor's cold.
Why is this building so cold?
I don't know. It's freezing in here. It must be the high ceilings.
You know what my favorite memory of this building is?
What's that?
When we found that glowing box of foods inside, and you punched your fist through it and released all the foods.
Oh, yes. Oh, I broke my hand in several places.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Reyes Seahorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.